This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. I'm Sean Tubbs. With the Senate race between Jim Webb and George Allen still too close to call, Virginia faces the prospect of a second statewide election that goes to a recount. Last November, Democrat Cree Deeds was locked in an extremely close race for Attorney General with his opponent Bob McDonnell, the eventual winner. Deeds spoke at a public forum of the Senior Statesman on November 8, 2006, the day after the election, to talk about his experience.
Thanks very much. Webb's ahead. Webb's ahead, and it's a landslide. It was a year ago today. I was a candidate for Attorney General, and the election was held last year on November 8th. Running for statewide office is just an experience like you wouldn't believe. I mean, it removes you from everything else you know. But I was away from home for literally weeks at a time. My staff figured out that I was more productive when I wasn't near my clients or my files or my secretary or my family. I was more likely to stay on the phone raising money, and that's what a campaign's about. So they kept me away from home for weeks at a time. And that's tougher than you can imagine. But the education I got, being all over Virginia, putting real faces and real places and real, I mean, the issues that I've dealt with in the General Assembly for 15 years are much, I mean, I have a better perspective now, I think, than I ever did before, and I appreciate that opportunity so much. I'll tell you, the recount process was a little bit, it was tough to go through, 6 weeks of limbo. But let me talk a little bit about verified voting and about the whole process, because it's not quite what people think it is. The electoral process is interesting. You know, the whole governing process is interesting. And at the end of the day, it's not so much about Democrats or Republicans. It's about people. It's about people. It's about what people expect from government, what they expect government to do, what they expect government not to do. One thing they expect government to do, all people, is run a fair election process, a process that favors nobody, no person, no party, and one that, in which all the votes are given their due. All the votes are counted. There have only been two statewide recounts. 1989, when Doug Wilder was elected governor by about 6,900 votes, and then the election last year that I was involved in, I ended up losing by about 300 and some votes. And we're headed for one this year. As I said, I described that as a landslide. You know, when you lose an election by 300 votes, a 7,200 vote margin, I'll take that any day of the week. that's more votes than divided Doug Wilder and Marshall Coleman in 1989. And I'll describe this, but there's a huge difference between the recount that occurred in 89 and the recount that occurred last year. The law changed, went through a sea change after the 2000 election. In 1989, there was a real recount. What I went through last year and what will happen this year will not be a recount. Around this country, there was a lot of reaction, overreaction, as sometimes we're prone to do as human beings. We overreact sometimes to situations. There was a lot of reaction to the election of 2000, to the situation in Florida. You know, Al Gore won the popular election nationwide by half a million votes, 500,000. I like that margin too. He won by 500,000 votes. Florida came down to just a slim margin. And they recounted and they recounted and they recounted and they recounted and they couldn't get it right. Suddenly, you know, after so many days, the Supreme Court stepped in, decided 5-4 to stop the recount. And Bush was declared the winner. President Bush became president. There was some concern around this country and in Virginia that the hanging Chad issue was lent itself to too much uncertainty, and that we needed certainty because, by golly, we're Americans. We want instant gratification. You know, we cannot be like some European countries that have weekends. They allow 3 days for voting. They make it convenient for people to vote. No, we are Americans. We're going to vote on a weekday because we always have, and we're going to have the results at the end of the day. Well, what we did, and after the election in 2000, a study committee was appointed to take a look at the whole recount process. And what they recommended was that recounts not be automatic anymore. What the law says is that you're entitled to a recount if your election is decided by less than one percentage point of the votes cast. And if the margin is less than one half of 1%, the state will pay the cost of the recount. Well, those costs are pretty slim because of the legislation that was passed in 2002. Because 2002, the legislation said put whether the recount occurs into the discretion of the court, and said the court, because you have to file suit in either the locality where the election occurred, or in a statewide election, the Circuit Court of the City of Richmond. The chief judge of the Circuit Court of the City of Richmond presides over the three-judge panel. The other judges are chosen by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Virginia. And they decide what the rules are with respect to the recount within the guidelines of the statute. And the statute is vague in some respects, but it gives the court discretion to determine whether a recount takes place. Three times since that statute was amended. So in 1989, when Doug Wilder was ahead by about 7,000 votes after the votes were counted on Election Day, they went through the actual recount process. Well, he lost about 100 votes, but he still won by 6,900 votes after the recount. Three times since the change was made in 2002 have they had recounts, so-called recounts. Two for a House of Delegates races, one in 2003 in Pulaski County, and the second in 2005 in the city of Richmond, and then my statewide recount. In every situation, the court ruled that absent a showing that some fraud or abuse or some shenanigans took place with the actual votes to be recounted, we're not going to order the votes to be recounted. We're going to just the recount will consist of a retabulation. Now, with one problem we have in Virginia, and it's all over the country, we don't have uniform voting machines in every jurisdiction in the state, all 134 jurisdictions. There are some optical scan machines out there that do produce a paper ballot, a paper receipt or whatever. And in my recount situation, we knew going in that with respect to a lot of these computers, there was no way that a recount, even if one were held, would produce any fruit because there's nothing to recount. Our only hope was to get the optical scan ballots re-examined. And we had expert testimony that there are all kinds of problems with optical scan machines. But the court said, unless you can show problems in specific precincts, we're not going to recount. In my recount situation, we could show problems had occurred in three precincts, one in Lynchburg and two in Gloucester. And it just so happened they were all precincts that I didn't win in. So ultimately, they recounted out of 2,443 precincts statewide, they recounted the votes in three precincts, and I lost 37 votes during the recount process. But here's something else to remember. The vote last night, now I think Webb is ahead by 7,200 votes. They say that three precincts are still out. Well, I'll tell you this is the skinny. Two of those precincts are in James City County, and they're in the middle of the James River. There are no votes there. Okay? There's one precinct out. I'm not sure where it is right now, but are there enough votes there to make a difference? No. So Webb will finish this process with about 7,000 votes. Over the next 3 weeks, you'll go through the canvassing process. Now, remember, if you'll think back to last year, when I went to bed 3 o'clock in the morning, on the morning of the 9th of November. I was ahead by about 500 votes. But we knew the precincts that were out, and I knew that I'd be behind when I woke up. I knew once those precincts came in, I would be behind because they were, I think, from Hanover and York. And we knew, based on their history, that I'd be behind. And the guys that are doing the calculate knew exactly how much I'd be behind. And sure enough, when we woke up we were about 2,400 votes or 3,200 votes behind, something like that. But over the next 2.5 weeks during the canvassing process, I picked up about 3,000 votes. Just, and the way I picked them up is that in this process, and this is why we ought to have a recount law, why we ought to have paper ballot, we ought to have a paper trail. People make mistakes. We are just human beings. My situation, in one precinct in Alexandria, they gave me 51 votes. Well, when they retabulated, they found out it was 510 votes. They left off a zero. Pretty important zero. Pretty important zero. And other precincts, and some of the errors worked in my favor. Some did not. But the votes would go back and forth because they would find math errors that had been made, errors that had been made in calculation. They found one precinct that just a box that had not been counted at all. So it's a human process, and as long as human beings are involved, even when they use computers, there's chance of mistake. You know, my view is, I mean, honestly, other countries have a different sort of election process, and they don't seem to have a problem with fraud. I would be in favor of having the election over a weekend, allow people to vote on a Saturday and Sunday when they're not working, or and maybe even a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, have voting over a three-day period. I would be in favor of absentee voting for any reason at all, because sometimes I'll tell you, I'm usually out working polls on election day. I always want to vote absentee if I can, but that doesn't fit under the statute necessarily as a reason for an absentee vote. And I think we ought to be about making the process as open and accessible and as easy for people to participate in as possible, as long as we can ensure the integrity of the process, as long as we can. Now, other people do it. Why can't we? You know, the most encouraging thing I saw yesterday, I saw a picture on the internet yesterday morning of people voting at a schoolhouse in Northern Virginia. Two lines around the building. They were lined up. You know what I thought of? South Africa and Bosnia. Places where people really seem to appreciate the fact that they get to participate in a democracy, a new democracy. In this country, I mean, we ought to all be ashamed of this. We elected a United States Senator yesterday. Less than 52% of the eligible voters participated. Less than 52% of the eligible. Last year when we elected a governor, about 45% participated. I mean, what is it? Do we want other people to make decisions for us? You know, I don't understand that. You know, so I want to be about encouraging people to get involved, encouraging people to get in the process. I think if you ensure the integrity of the ballot and ensure that every vote's counted, that's one way to encourage people to get involved. Another way is looking at the whole way we conduct the election. And frankly, as I said, I would be in favor of holding weekend voting and making it easier for people. I'll tell you this. I mean, you get down to transportation, which is something it's been in the news a lot in Virginia the last few years. The election last year was pretty good for me, the process, because while I live in Bath County, which has about 5,200 people, my people have lived in Bath County since about 1740. You know, I didn't fall very far from the tree. Traffic for me is just getting behind a school bus or a pulpwood truck. Traffic is not an issue, but last year, I had to sit on the Beltway for hours around D.C. I had to sit in Hampton Roads under the water. You ever been claustrophobic in your life? You know, sometimes for long periods of time. Somebody told me last night that traffic was so backed up that people who waited to vote in the afternoons in Loudoun and Prince William County and Stafford just weren't going to get to vote. They have to sit in traffic for an hour and a half or so after work to get home. We're going to have to figure out a way to open up the process and get more people involved. We've done everything we can to make it easier to register to vote. We've got to figure out how to bring people into the process. John F. Kennedy wrote years ago, "We the people are the boss, and we get the kind of political leadership, be it good or bad, that we demand and deserve." And I honestly believe that. We're, you know, it's like people that fuss about what's on television. Well, television's a reflection of those who watch it. You know, if you don't like the shows, don't watch them. The TV networks will take them off. The advertisers will stop advertising on and they'll be gone. Our government is a reflection of us. And we're American. You know, we love to be cynical about government. We love to complain about it. But it's a reflection of us. We get what, you know, you are what you eat. You get from government what you demand and what you deserve. By golly, there are lots of things that happen that I certainly don't feel like I deserve. We just need to get more people engaged in the process, and I think you'll have the government will be a better reflection of our society. So that's kind of an agenda item for me, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks with this re-canvassing of votes and whatever, you know, the potential recount, which is just another re-canvassing. You canvass the votes over the next 3 weeks, and the recount is just a re-canvassing. It's not a recount. I expect there will be a recount. I expect if there are changes in the votes, they will probably occur during the canvassing process before the vote's certified. And you know, my situation last year, there was a change of around 3,000 votes during that process. Now, is that going to be enough to mean George Allen's reelected? I just don't think it will be. Based on the experience I had last year. But stranger things have happened. As I said, there was a precinct in Alexandria last year that, you know, because a number was not included in the tabulation, I lost 450 votes until the canvassing process. So it's a human process, and there's all sorts of opportunities for mistake. We had several bills this past time to require a recount, to require paper trails. Generally, election officials, registrars, and state election officials, and I think this is true whether they're Democrat or Republican. And this whole election process shouldn't be about Democrats and Republicans, as I said. People who are part of the process become so invested in the process, they don't want any change at all. And those people want the process to be as efficient and to produce the quickest result possible. Well, quick doesn't always equal right. Just like confidence doesn't always equal, you know, correctness. So it's difficult. We had some bills last year, and it's difficult to get them moved. I had a recount bill last year, a bill to require a recount. And early in the process, I saw that, you know, I was kind of, because of the election situation I went through last year, I was kind of a lightning rod as the Democratic candidate for attorney general who lost by 300 votes in a Republican legislature. So another person had the same bill, and I just let mine go away and let hers carry forward. Now, I did a lot of the work on it, but I let it carry forward. I got it out of the Senate. It got over in the House, and it got stuck in some mud over there. And it's going to be interesting to see those people who basically killed the bill that last session, requiring a recount, what their reaction is going to be this year when the shoe is on the other foot, when it's not a Democrat who's behind in a close margin, but a Republican. I mean, and that's what I argued basically on the floor of the Senate before this bill met its final death. I said, this is not a partisan issue. This is an issue that could just as easily be one of you as it was me. And so now we'll see. So that'll be an issue probably in the coming session. This is, you know, Virginia has got an interesting process, and it's one we used to all take a great deal of pride in because we got our business done on time and we got the budget balanced. This year, 2007, will be a short session. It's an election, state election year, which means the session will be 46 days. We'll deal with amendments to the budget. That will occupy a whole lot of time. There will be a significant amount of time, I expect, spent posturing about the transportation issue. You know, I'll not forget this. Several years ago, I did a town meeting out in Earliesville, and I think this was 2002 or 2003, and we were talking about transportation. And after we got through talking about transportation and people talking about traffic on 29, a couple came up to me after it was over and said, what are these people doing talking about transportation? We just moved here from Springfield. These people don't know about transportation. They don't know about traffic. Well, I guess you have to put everything in perspective. I get pretty mad sometimes when I'm sitting in Bath County behind a pulpwood truck at 7:25 in the morning and I'm poking up the mountain at 20 miles an hour. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You have to put everything in perspective. But there will be a lot of posturing about transportation this year because it's an issue that will require significant money. No matter what you do, you're not going to squeeze enough savings out of VDOT to come up with the money, initial investment you've got to have to make the changes needed in Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads and everywhere else, frankly. In the Shenandoah Valley, everywhere else I said, the money is not an issue that's dealt with well during election years. This is an election year. Everybody wants. There's one thing that someone who's elected wants more than anything else in the world, and that's to be reelected. And so these are the sorts of issues that won't be dealt with substantively, I don't think, in 2007. I think the 2007 session. I don't think you can look for a lot of progress in that area. We made passed some significant bills last year, marrying land use and transportation planning, and we're going to see how those work. We made some significant changes there. I always have great hope going into the legislative session. Whether that hope will be merited or not, I guess we'll just see.